Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All glories to the Assam devotees. All glories to the Assam devotees. Glories to the Assam devotees. Glories to Sri Guru and Ranga. We're reading from Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 2, verse 56. Dukesh Vadni Vanu Tvigna Manaha.
Dukesh Vadni Tvigna Manaha.
Sukeshu Vigadas Piha.
Sukeshu Vigadas Piha.
Vitaragapaya Krota.
Vitaragapaya Krota.
Sita Tirumuni Ruchate.
Sita Tirumuni Ruchate.
Translation. One who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there's happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. Mukham karoti vachalam bhangam langate kirim yakantaham vande shikram timatavinam opmakyanatim randasya gananjara shalakaya chakshuva militam yena tasmai shikare. So I'd like to dedicate this class to His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj. I know that I lived in India also for the last 50 years, and he was our GBC most of the time. It was not easy to have a GBC in India. They would not stay very long. It was very wild in India, very crazy in the early days. And I remember one time we had a GBC, and after 2 months, he disappeared. He just ran away. And Prabhupada had to become our GBC. And even Tamala's GBC, he also wanted to go preach in America. He left. So His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj did a very wonderful thing, that he became our GBC. And it was mentioned he was printing books. So Prabhupada, every time he would go to see Prabhupada, Prabhupada expected him to bring a new book printed in Hindi or Bengali or something or other. So whenever he would go to see Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada would say, "Where is the book?" And he had to show which book he printed. And so I used to see him, I live in Vrindavan, and he would be up there doing Mangal Arti. Whenever he was in Vrindavan, he would be at Krishna Balaram's altar. Even when he was very sick, he was still doing Mangal Arti up there. And so he was quite amazing. And he was very, very kind. Srila Prabhupada, before Prabhupada left, he said, "I'm afraid after I leave, the women will not be protected." Well, Maharaj was always taking care of us God sisters. And we felt very, he protected us from so many things, myself also. He supported me in my service of initiating guru, where there's so much opposition, but he supported me in India. So I really miss his association and his protection. Of course, we can still pray for his protection, even though he's with Srila Prabhupada and Krishna at this time. So, yes, this verse, it's a very good description of Maharaj also. He was not disturbed in mind. I never saw him get angry. And he was free from attachment, for sure, and fearless. And not disturbed. Threefold miseries came, but he was still doing his service, no matter what. So let's read a little of the purport. Talks about a fully Krishna conscious person is not at all disturbed by the onslaughts of the threefold miseries, for he accepts all miseries as the mercy of the Lord, thinking himself only worthy of more trouble due to his past misdeeds. So this is the mind of the pure devotee. He see the miseries, "Oh, thank you, Krishna, this is really good. Now I get a chance to advance some more." I'm also remembering His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, who he was sometimes asked a question to the people in the audience, that he would ask the question, "Sometimes something happens to you, and do you think, why is this happening to me?" And so, yes, if you're not a devotee, then that'll be the first question. Why is God doing this to me? Why me, of all people? I'm a very important person. Why should this happen to me? You know, yeah. And then the second question is, sometimes you may see somebody who's suffering, maybe one leg or something. In India, we see a lot. So you may ask, you may think, well, I'm glad that's not me. And so, yes, we might think like that sometimes. But then there's another question that Maharaj would ask. Do you ever see somebody suffering and you think, why not me? So that was Maharaj at the end of his life. He was thinking, why not me? Let me suffer for them. Let them not suffer. And so this is the mentality of the pure devotee. He thinks like that. So in Prabhupada, and so that's what, when miseries come, he feels, yes, this is minimized by Krishna. It could have been so much worse. Could have been so much worse. Prabhupada says that when he's happy, he gives credit to the Lord, thinking himself unworthy of the happiness. He realizes, due only to the Lord's grace, he's in such a comfortable condition and able to render better service to the Lord. Yeah, I got this money. Oh, it must be, I should share it. I should give it to Krishna. Yes, this is Krishna's money after all. And so let me use it for his service. Now, if somebody who is not a devotee of Krishna gets success in this life, what will he say? He will say, because I'm so expert, I'm so intelligent, that's why. I work so hard, and now I'm a success. And Dorothy thinks, I have no power, I have no ability. It's Krishna. It's my guru. They help me. I try to be an instrument, and they work through me, and so therefore I'm successful. Now, it's very nice philosophy, but sometimes, we understand, okay, I'm not this body, I should be an instrument. We know, theoretically, but sometimes it's not easy to practice what we think. It's a little bit of gap there between our knowledge and our experience and our practice. And so one devotee was expressing that, I'm a devotee, but my body is affected by the modes. I'm experiencing things. And Prabhupada said to him, no, you're not experiencing. Your body is experiencing. You're feeling hot due to this body. You are not feeling hot. The devotee said, I think I'm feeling hot. Prabhupada said, you think. That's illusion. So then I should rise above it, the devotee said. Prabhupada said, yes, but not artificially. But this is a fact. You have to, now you might be feverish. You might feel fever. But actually, you are a healthy person, and you will come to this level of good health, and the fever will go. But don't think, oh, I am feverish. This is me. I am this feverish person. I am this angry person. So we should not be disturbed, Prabhupada is saying. Don't be disturbed, sometimes hot, sometimes cold, just like winter, just like summer. It comes, it goes. And what is Krishna's instruction? You have to tolerate. That's it. And so Prabhupada, one time, he was very sick. For 3 days, he was tossing and turning. And he had diarrhea and he had fever. And after a few days, he was okay, and his servant asked him, so, does a pure devotee suffer? And Prabhupada said, no, it was a lover's bite. So he saw the hand of Krishna. It's not easy for us, but Prabhupada saw that. And so, yes, so threefold miseries, I'd like to say something about that. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 15th chapter, verse 24, is described how to counteract the threefold miseries. What are the threefold miseries? First of all, adibhauti, that is due to other living beings. And it can also be mosquitoes, can be insects too, because they're also beings. But people mostly give us trouble, I think. So other living beings, adidaivik is due to the demigods or the weather. Too much rain, too little rain, earthquake, tsunami. So that's the second one. And Adi Atmik is our own body and mind, which give us so much trouble. So how do we counteract this? Well, first of all, suffering is due to other living entities, Adi Bhautik. How to counteract? By good behavior and freedom from envy. That's how you counteract problems from others. Second one, how you counteract Adi Daivik. That's due to the outside, by meditation in trance. Okay, so, and what about the body and mind? Interesting, Bhagavatam says, by practicing Hatha Yoga, Pranayama, and so forth. Isn't that interesting? So we'll talk a little bit about all these three things and try to understand how Prabhupada translates these things and how we experience them also. So first, we'll talk about Adi Daivik, and that is due to outside influence, the weather, etc. So in 2013, about 11 years ago, in Badrikashram in the Himalayas, there was an avalanche, and there was a flood, and all the restaurants and all the shops were destroyed. The temple was intact. The temple was one big rock fell behind it, and it was protected. Now, why did this happen? Because the government of India decided that they're going to move Parvati's temple above Lord Shiva's. So, Durga Parvati came to the pujari in the night before in a dream. Tell them not to do that. But they didn't listen. And an avalanche came, and a flood came, and the roads were destroyed. But there is one saintly person who was in meditation in front of the Lord Shiva temple, meditating on Lord Shiva. He was just standing there. He didn't even notice that the avalanche happened. He was so fixed in his trance he didn't notice. So then I was watching it on Facebook, of course. It was live. And the government sent a helicopter to evacuate all the people. So it came this saintly person's time to go on the helicopter. He said, "You can go now, Yogi Babaji." He said, "No, I will walk." There was no road, but he might have, had some mystic power, who knows. So he had meditation and trance. And there's another way we can see how this meditation and trance puts you above the threefold miseries. He's the temple president of Stockholm, Sweden, and he was telling me, before he became a devotee, he was living in Norway. Now, Norway is very high north, and, the sun sets in October and rises in February, basically. There's no light for months. And it's very cold, and it's very windy, and it's snowing. So he used to suffer, he said, a lot from that cold wind and the snow and the darkness. But then after he became a devotee, he used to go up to the same place in Norway and distribute books. And it didn't bother him anymore. He wasn't affected. He didn't feel it because he was meditating in trance on Srila Prabhupada and distributing his books. And so, yes, it works. We can also try that. You don't have to go up to Norway. You can just go close by. I'm sure it's the same austerity to distribute books over here, too. Adi Bhautik, other living beings, how to counteract is good behavior and freedom from envy. So Bhagavatam describes good behavior in 3:29-27. That through charitable gifts and attention, as well as through friendly behavior and viewing all to be alike, one should please me who abide in all creatures. So what does that mean in easy language is that if there is someone who is superior to you, you should serve them. You should get mercy from them. And then if someone is equal, you should be friends. And if someone is a junior, you should be merciful to them. There are three ways to act according to your relationship with the different people. And so this is very, very important that devotees behave in this way. There is one very nice man, Dr. Patel, who used to be very friendly with Srila Prabhupada. They would walk together on Juhu Beach. And when we first came to India, there was so much austerity. We arrived in Juhu, 1972. And we went to Mangalarti, and the devotees, the deities were living in a tent. There was no door. And the men were living in a hut. And the ladies were living on the roof of a building. And it was summer. And in prasadam time, you know, this hut was everything. It was men's ashram, prasadam room, you name it. And office, kitchen, all in one hut, one room. And we went there, and prasadam time, looking up at the rafters, big rats are running across. And I'm thinking, hope he doesn't fall on my plate. He fell, not on my plate, someone else's plate. And I was happy, but that was my culture shock coming to India in 1972. We didn't have any place to live, basically, we didn't have. So this doctor, he was a little bit of impersonalist philosophy. His goal was liberation. He wanted to merge. I don't know if he wanted to merge, but at least he wanted liberation. But he felt very compassionate to the devotees. So he bought mattresses, mosquito nets, pillows, blankets. He donated to all of us devotees. But then after 2 years, they all disappeared, you know, because we didn't have a door, for one thing, into our room. We didn't have a room either, to speak of door. So everything was stolen. Everything was lost. And he complained to Prabhupada, these devotees, they're not taking care of themselves and their things. And Prabhupada said, yes. They don't care if they get sick or if they have to sleep on the floor. That liberation you so much want, they already have it. So we were liberated, but we didn't feel liberated so much, but we felt the miseries a bit. But Prabhupada said we were liberated. So that was good enough. So good behavior, freedom from envy, and you'll be protected. And Adiyatme, Katyoga, and Pranayam. Now, it's interesting, in a Prabhupada third canto, Prabhupada says, as far as pranayama is concerned, chanting of the holy name of the Lord and dancing in ecstasy are also considered pranayama. So you're all doing pranayama every morning, or even tonight, everybody was doing pranayama, according to Srila Prabhupada. That's our pranayama. So yes, chanting Hare Krishna is very, very important practice. Pranayam. So I can give you a story of His Holiness Indumda Swami was flying in Africa. So he was on a plane, and the plane was trying to land. And every time the plane would try to land, it would start shaking violently. So Maharaj was going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the Christians were going, Jesus. And the Muslims were going, Allah. And the plane went back up. And then the man sitting next to Maharaj said, I don't believe in all these things. I'm a scientist. Don't believe. Plane went back down, started shaking violently. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And went back up. And the scientist said, what was that you were saying? So then Maharaj said, Hare Krishna. He said, the whole thing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So the pilot said, okay, we're going to try one more time. We don't make it, we'll go back to where we came from. The plane went down, started shaking. Everyone was chanting, even the scientists. And the plane landed nicely. So Maharaj said to the scientist, now do you believe? The scientist said, maybe. And Maharaj said, here's my card. If you have any questions, you can contact me. So that's one story. There's another story about when you're doing pranayama, chanting and dancing, you can forget your miseries. Every year I go to Nepal in September for a retreat. 250 ladies, Nepali ladies, came last year. Now, one year I went, there was 150 ladies. And the last night they do kirtan, and they start at 7:30 at night. And they dance wildly. It's like, and they have great mridanga players and everything up there. So we, there was kirtan. So all these ladies were wildly dancing. And then one Gujarati lady came to them and she was saying, 7:30, it's time for prasadam. Prasadam? Nobody paid attention. They were just into their dancing and chanting. 8:30 came. And the Gujarati lady, prasadam. Nobody paid attention. 9:30 came. And she's, I'm really hungry. Nobody pay attention. So the Gujarati lady also, okay. She also started chanting and dancing, and she forgot too. So yes, if you are in doing pranayam, you can also forget the miseries of the body and your hunger and something like that. And so yes, another important thing, it's also, Krishna says the same thing in Gita. He says in Gita, you know, Gita is like the seed and Bhagavatam is like the plant that's growing from the seed of Gita. Actually here in 6th chapter, Krishna says the same thing about, actually it's yukta hara viharasya yukta chestasya karmasya yukta sakna vabodhasya yoga bhavati dukha ha. He who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. So isn't that interesting? Krishna says the same thing. So if you're regulated in these things, you can become free from all miseries. Prabhupada talks about three causes of disease: overeating, anxiety, and uncleanliness. These can cause disease. So if you have anxiety, if you're overeating, or if you're not clean, you can get disease. Yeah, in India, it's easy to get, not jaundice, the other one, typhoid, if you drink bad water. You drink bad water, you're done. Typhoid. So you have to be careful when you go to India. Street food also can do something to you too. So you have to be careful of those things. So the devotee, his attitude, that hope against hope to get the mercy of Krishna. And second, bhunjana yivatma kitam vipakam, tolerate. So hope for mercy, tolerate the reactions to your past misdeeds, and serve with body, mind, and words, and you will inherit the kingdom of God. So I would just like to give you a story. This is kind of conclusion to the lecture. And this is from my godfather, Bhagavat. He was talking to Prabhupada and he said, I'm confused because in your books, in your lectures, you say, when you become a devotee, you're on the transcendental platform. At the same time, you talk about being affected by the modes, material nature. I'm a devotee and I get a certain amount of transcendental pleasure. At the same time, I feel affected by the modes. How can I be on the transcendental platform and be affected by the modes? So Prabhupada answered, it's like being on a boat. If you're on the boat, no one can say you're not on the boat. But sometimes big waves will come and rock that boat. So those waves are the modes. We're on the boat, going back to Godhead. We're on the boat, we got our ticket, and we're going back, but we might get knocked over by the waves. But don't jump off the boat, that's all. Don't jump off. Don't jump off the boat. Keep on the boat of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And I would like to end with one prayer from His Holiness Satchinandan Swami. And he's talking about when you have problems. He said, I cannot solve this alone. It's beyond my capabilities, intelligence, plans, ideas. I sincerely request you to accept me as your surrendered soul. Protect and maintain me. So protect me means keep me in a situation where I can function and the problems of material existence don't upset my life that much. Maintain me means maintain me on the spiritual platform. So that is his prayer. I'll stop here if there's any questions you can ask at this time. Do we have a microphone?
Hello. Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you for the wonderful class. On the last line of the verse we read today, one who is free from attachment,
fear and anger,
is called the sage of steady mind.
Cittadin.
How can one be a sage of steady mind, free from attachment, and be engaged in pastimes? Because
how can one be
a sage of steady mind?
Uh-huh.
And be engaged in pastimes.
What pastimes?
You know, transcendental pastimes of Krishna.
How can one be a sage of steady mind and be engaged in pastimes of Krishna?
Because you have to be attached to Krishna, and the cowherd boys have fear when the demons come to Vrindavan, and Mother Yashoda has anger. She feels anger to Krishna when Krishna breaks the pots and steals the butter.
Yeah, so if you want to know more about how to be about what this verse is talking about, you have to go to chapter 4, verse 10. Because actually, it's talking about material attachment, fear, and anger. You have to be free of those. And yes, and then our naturally, our attachment, fear, and anger goes to Krishna. So I'll just read you a little bit about that. Chapter 4, verse 10, it starts, being free from attachment, fear, and anger, being absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, so as they all attained transcendental love for me. So this is a condition for getting prema or love of Krishna. But of course, it doesn't, see, the impersonalists think that in order to become liberated, you have to be free of all attachment, all fear, and all anger. But we don't agree with them. We say, no. There will still be attachment, fear, and anger, but it will be for Krishna. That's the difference between the impersonal philosophy and our philosophy. Is that we're personalists. We don't give up our emotions, but our emotions are changed from material to spiritual. So I'll just say one more thing about this. So the attachment, that's the problem with the karmis, or those who are attached to things of this world. Fear is a problem of the impersonalists, the jnanis. And they're afraid of having all these things, emotions, so they negate. And anger is the atheists. They're angry with God, and they're angry with everyone. And so we have to be free from these three attitudes, of the atheists, impersonalists, and the karmis. Any other questions? Comments, please.
I have a question.
Question.
In the beginning you were reading that the person who is feeling, that's not real, but the feeler is real, otherwise it will be Mayavadi.
Yeah, exactly.
We cannot say feeler is not real.
Yeah.
What is your take on that?
No, Prabhupada said that the feeling that this is me, that is not real. That this is who I am, that this is my identity, that I am feverish, that I'm a feverish person. So this is not real, this feeling.
So the material experience is not real, but the feeler, person who is experiencing is real.
Yes, the feeler is real. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what Prabhupada is trying to tell us.
Yeah. Otherwise, Mayavada will say, see, they agree with us.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they will find all excuses. Any other questions, comments? Okay. Jai, all glories to Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.